In the name of Jesus, who has promised that he is coming soon, dear fellow redeemed. Our sermon today is based on Psalm number 24, which is a psalm all about when we will meet the Lord. Let's read it together. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god, they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty, he is the King of glory. This is the word of our Lord about what it's like to meet the Lord. So have you ever met someone who left you awestruck? Maybe a politician or a celebrity, a personal hero of yours who left you just amazed. That's how I felt when I met Ennis. Ennis was a lot bigger than me, and I met him on his home turf, so to speak. My brother had won a little competition which earned us tickets to a basketball game down at the Bradley Center in Milwaukee when the Bucks used to play there. And part of his winning deal was that we got to take a photo at midcourt during the shoot-around portion. And that's where I found myself face-to-face with Ennis, 265 pounds of muscle, 6 feet and 10 inches tall. I suppose I found myself face-to-belly button with Ennis. Ennis Cantor was a center for the New York Knicks, and I was astounded at how fast he could move and how powerful he was for a man of his size. Maybe for you it was somebody else. What would it be like to meet the commander-in-chief who has the nuclear launch codes and has so much power in our world? What would it be like to sit down for dinner with Jeff Bezos, who has enough money to buy every NFL franchise or the whole city of Appleton twice? Be a pretty crazy dinner, right? What would it be like to meet Cristiano Ronaldo, a soccer star from the nation of Portugal who has so many followers on Instagram that when he posts a picture, 200 million people see it, or about half the people on Instagram? Whatever it would be that would make you amazed to meet somebody, leave you awestruck, that's really the theme of Psalm number 24. We are not meeting a celebrity or an athlete. We are meeting soon the King of Glory. And it is going to be a wonderful meeting as described in the psalm, because the King of Glory, there's a couple different things we could see here that are reasons why we should celebrate. That's why one of the songs that we have in our hymnal, we're not singing it too much right now, but one of the songs we have in our hymnal is all about this psalm. It's all about meeting the King of Glory, and it's got one of the catchiest melodies, one of the most rejoicing sounds of all of our hymns. It's the one that goes like this. I even see Lutherans tapping their toes right now. The King of Glory comes, the nation rejoices. Open your gates before him, lift up your voices. That is a celebration song for the day when you will be awestruck by meeting the King of Glory, the Lord. And this psalm gives us a couple reasons why you would be awestruck at meeting the King of Glory. It's not really about his height or how much money he has. There's one reason at the beginning of the psalm and one reason at the end of the psalm why it would be awesome to meet the King of Glory. First one is this. He's got the whole world in his hands. Remember how this psalm started? The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. It's a little song like this, too. You know this song? He's got the whole world in his hands. If ever I have to entertain a group of children and I have nothing planned for what I'm going to do with them, you can always sing this song. Because you can start with the words that are originally written. He's got the whole world in his hands, and they include the things that the Bible makes obvious Jesus has control over, right? Like he's got the wind and the rain, because Jesus showed his power over wind and rain in his hands. He's got the mountains and the trees in his hands. But then you can fill up like 15 minutes with kids with this, because then you can ask them to give you anything that they can think of and sing about that. And the little kids love it because they'll just look around the room and say, oh, he's got the wall. All right, we'll say he's got the wall in his hands. He's got the wall. Oh, he's got the wreath. Yeah, he's got the wreath in his hands. But the big kids, they think they're going to trick you. They think, I'm going to think of something that we're going to make Pastor sing that wouldn't fit in the song, something that God doesn't have in his hands, but the joke's on them because there's nothing they could say that God doesn't have in his hands. That's really the point of the song, isn't it? He's got the whole world in his hands, which means he's got the nuclear launch codes in his hands. He's got all the NFL franchises in his hands. And he's got all the Instagram followers in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. It's part of the reason why you'd be awestruck to meet this King of Glory. But you know how that song ends, right? He's got you and me in his hands. And that includes the stuff that we don't normally sing about. Like he's got the virus and your family in his hands. He's got your bank account and your health in his hands. He's got your body and your soul in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. What a glorious king he must be to have that kind of control over everything in all the earth and all who live in it. But there's a less abstract reason that comes at the end of the psalm, a less abstract reason why you might be awestruck to meet the King of Glory. And it's the part that describes the Lord as a battle warrior. It says, who is this King of Glory? He's the Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. He's the King of Glory. Now, God is described as mighty in this part. But there's a few soldiers in Bible history who are also described as mighty. Not all the soldiers in the Bible are described as mighty, but there's three in particular, and we don't often talk about them in sermons, but their story is written in 2 Samuel chapter 23. These guys are super soldiers, mighty warriors who they do things that the producers of superhero movies wouldn't even put it in the script because it would seem too unbelievable. The guy who's pictured here in this photo is Eliezer. And this is one of his highlight reels. Eliezer from 2 Samuel chapter 23. It says, as one of the three mighty warriors, he was with David when they taunted the Philistines gathered at Pas Damim for battle. Then the Israelites retreated, but Eliezer stood his ground and struck down the Philistines till his hand grew tired and froze to the sword. The Lord brought about a great victory that day. Just to be clear, you realize what happened? There was one army versus another army. And then one army ran away, so it was one army versus Eliezer, and Eliezer won. He defeated the entire Philistine army. So what do you think that was like when the rest of the army from Israel came back and met up with Eliezer? Where did you guys go? Well, we didn't know if we would win, Eliezer. Sorry about that. And that's when they had their meeting with that mighty warrior. They had a face-to-face with a man the Bible describes as mighty. How much more amazing must it be to come face to face with the mighty Lord, who can do far more than defeat an enemy army. In fact, he could defeat every army. He's done it before. We heard about it when we read about Noah. When the world was filled with enemies of God's people, the world was filled with corruption and hatred and evil and men bent on doing things that God hated, it didn't really take him too much effort to wipe out all the evil in the world. That's why the Bible tells us, "So the Lord said, I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them." When not just one army, but the whole world was against God, he was mighty enough to destroy them. He was mighty enough to wipe out the whole earth, and yet he didn't. If there's some might involved in wiping out an enemy, and even more might involved in wiping out the whole world, there's even more might involved in saving. And that's what God did. He saved Noah and his family. Not because there was anything inherently good in Noah's heart, but he saved Noah so that he might keep his promise to send a Savior. When God was faced with a world full of evil, his solution was not to wipe out the world, but to wipe out the evil. And so Noah's great ancestor Jesus did just that. He provided us an antidote to sin, a solution to evil, and an end to death. When Jesus came to this world, he took on our sin and our punishment, and he was victorious over it. Jesus is truly the mightiest warrior who won the mightiest victory, more than Eliezer, more than the flood, more than anyone. That's the mighty warrior, and he's got a hole in his hand, and he holds all things in his hands, and he has given his life to purchase the world so that he can really claim to own it all. What would it be like to shake his hand? What would it be like to meet the God who holds all things and who has one distinctive battle scar? Are you ready for that? That's what the psalm urges you to contemplate. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who is ready for this meeting? Who can stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not trust in an idol or swear by what is false. God's pretty clear about who is ready to meet with the King of Glory. It is people with clean hands, something we've talked quite a bit about lately, haven't we? Clean hands, wash your hands 20 minutes with warm water, sanitize when you can't find a sink. We've been thinking about clean hands, and I wonder what would it be like if you have an appointment this week, maybe with your doctor or a business partner or something. You've got an appointment coming up, and you start that appointment by clearing your throat and then extending your hand for a handshake. You can predict what would happen, right? They don't want any part of your germs, and neither does the Lord. But every time we use our hands to do something hurtful instead of something helpful, it's like we just sneezed on him, and we've got a meeting with the Lord coming up. But God's demands for our meeting go beyond just clean hands. He also said a pure heart. So even if you're doing something helpful with your hands, even if you're doing something nice, but on the inside your heart is doing it so that you can get a better reputation, so that people will pay attention to you, it's like you just coughed on your hands. And we've got a meeting with the Lord coming up. But it goes beyond that. It goes beyond the moment-to-moment restraining your sinful decisions. Because the Bible says, who can meet with the Lord? The one who does not trust in a false god, trust in an idol. A literal translation of that would go like this. One who does not lift up his life to what is worthless. Which means that it's not just about moment-to-moment decisions. Every time you or I put our whole life in service of our own success? Every time you and I put our whole life in service of our family over the King of Glory? Every time you or I make our whole life all about money, ourselves, anything that's not the King of Glory, the true Lord God of Israel? Every time we do that, it's like we've filthied our hands. And we're not ready to meet the Lord when we're covered in sin. Who can ascend the hill of the Lord? Who can stand in his holy presence? One who has clean hands, a pure heart, who does not lift up their life in service to a worthless idol. What I'm describing with the analogy of hands might be, picture it just like this. You can picture your hand, it's dripping with your own transgressions, and you've got it extended to shake hands with the one whose hands hold all things, who's got the marks of redemption. How's that going to end? This is the dilemma that everybody faces. The Lord Jesus described it not with an analogy, but with very literal words. He said, be on guard, be alert. You do not know when this meeting's coming. You do not know when the time will come when the Lord comes back to meet us in the air. And so we've got this problem. We all want to be with the King of Glory. He's amazing. He's so cool. He fills your heart with joy and confidence, but none of us are prepared to meet him. None of us are clean. And so many people at that point, they choose to turn away. They choose to either say, God is ridiculous for demanding that I be perfect, so I'm having none of it. Or they say, I'm so humiliated that I don't live up to God's expectations that they just bury their head in shame. Which is so terrifying to think that we would turn away from the God who's speaking to us in this psalm, because we haven't even found out yet what God does with dirty hands. You know what God does when you come to a meeting with him with dirty hands? He washes them. St. Peter said, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the body, but the pledge of a clean conscience toward God. The Lord God not literally washes off your hands with water, but figuratively, he cleanses you from every spot and stain. He washes from your record every shameful thing that lives in your memory. He has destroyed all of the things that make you unprepared to meet him. He washes your heart and he washes your hands in baptism, through his word, when you hear that he has forgiven you, through the Lord's Supper, when you receive his true body and blood, the assurance, the pledge of forgiveness for you. The Lord Jesus cleans sinners. And that is why the psalmist can say that we will receive blessings when we meet with the Lord, not curses. He says they will receive blessing from the Lord and vindication from God their Savior. Vindication, that means you'll be declared not guilty. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. God is cleaned us up. God can wash you clean, but he will not force his soap on you. He would rather not hold you down like a little kid who doesn't want to wash up before dinner and scrub your hands against your will. That's not how he works. He invites you to seek him, to, in the words of the psalm, not put your head down, but lift up your head. Not close up your heart, but open your heart that the King of Glory may come in. Lift up your heads, you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. God has solved our dilemma by cleaning us, but now God's got a dilemma. How in the world is he going to get us to open up to this King who is so powerful, so mighty, when we, with our timid hearts, are so conscious of our sin? Well, God solved his dilemma with a brilliant solution, just a genius way of doing it. He announced that he was coming. He said, this meeting with the Lord is coming soon. He announced it in his word. He announced it with angels. He said, it's coming soon. And then he made it really clear. He sent a glory of the Lord to shine in the sky. And people who saw it were just cowering and terrified. Oh no, the Lord is coming. We're going to be so afraid. And then when they actually got to the place where people were seeing the Lord, every knee was bowed. Everybody was like, oh my goodness, this is the King of Glory we've been waiting for. And at the center of all this worship, the theme of all these songs, the reason that the sky was shining was a tiny little baby who's not scary at all, who's really nothing to hide from, and who really didn't look like he had much power or glory, even in the least. Babies don't have a ton of superpowers, but you know what babies are really good at? Finding a spot in your heart for you to care for them and love them. It's exactly what the Lord Jesus would have us do for him. He hid his glory. He put on human flesh so that we might be able to handle our meeting with the King of Glory, so that he might live as one of us, and that we might open up the gates and welcome him in. After the shepherds had cowered under the angel's glory, after Mary and Joseph had taken their turn meeting the Lord in dreams or in angels, then the King of Glory came as a baby. And what God has done for all those people, he has done for you too. He has come to you in a way, this great, glorious King who could wipe out the world, who could squash you like a bug. He has come to you through a book, which doesn't look like much. Some sentences, a few words that a third grader could read or a second grader. But if books are good at one thing, it's finding a spot in your heart, finding a way to come at you that doesn't make you cower or afraid. And that's exactly what the Lord would have you do to prepare for his coming at Christmas. Spend some time in his word to get to know him. That's why the Martin Luther College, our Synod's College of Ministry, has done us a great service. They provided little booklets where we can meet the Lord, meet the King of Glory in his word with one devotion each day from December 1st until Christmas. There's copies of these books. They're called The Jesse Tree is the theme this year. There's copies in the narthex. You can grab one. And I'd ask you to join me in meeting the Lord every day as we prepare to meet him on Christmas and as we prepare our hearts to meet him when he comes again in judgment. So, hopefully when you open up this thing, you will react quite differently from how I reacted when I met Enos Cantor. Hopefully you will not be timid, not be afraid, but instead open your heart, open your gates that the King of Glory may come in, because he's coming soon. Amen. Please stand.